Today, in the liturgical year, we begin a more intense preparation for Christmas. And a little tradition of our church tells us that Joseph and Mary set out on a journey to Bethlehem during these days, which is a distance of approximately 80 miles. And it likely would have taken them somewhere between 7 and 10 days to get there. It's normally about a 4-day journey, but when you figure Mary is pregnant, and they probably had to make some various ways to get there, it probably took them around this time. So these 8 days are a more intense preparation for Christmas, and it kind of counterbalances the 8 days that we celebrate the octave of Christmas. And what's particular about this time is the O antiphons, which we hear in the Gospel Alleluia today, which are normally sung at Vespers. This began in medieval monasteries. And basically, it's all the verses of O Come, O Come Emmanuel that we sing. And it forms, when you take all of these different Old Testament images, today Wisdom, tomorrow Adonai, the next day the key of David, and so on and so forth. When you take all of these, all of those Latin phrases, and you form an acrostic, which then you spell backwards. And when you spell it backwards, like those old records that you just kind of play backwards and have messages, right? Something like that. When you spell it backwards, it forms a phrase, arrow cross, which means I am coming soon, or even more presently, I am coming tomorrow. So we end those antiphons on December 24th. As I mentioned, they are Old Testament images, but represented in the light of Christ. Now Christ being the one who fulfills that Old Testament image of being wisdom, or Adonai, or the key of David. And then there's a remembrance of what God has done in the past, and finally a petition. Come and save us. Come and open the gates of heaven for us. Or as the antiphon says today, come give us wisdom and knowledge. And when we need that knowledge is what we hear today in the gospel, the genealogy. It's very interesting that on this first day of this, in more intense preparation, that we would hear Matthew's presentation of the genealogy, which starts from Abraham and follows the line all the way to Joseph, who is the tribe of Judah, and of course Mary, who is pregnant with the Son of God. And with Abraham begins salvation history. And so Matthew is tracing salvation history through not so much of a straight line. It's actually quite crooked and divergent. When we see the people that are there, when we hear the genealogy, we hear, you know, X became the father of Y and so on and so forth. And we kind of nod off after a while. And then until it becomes to Joseph, the husband of Mary, and all of a sudden our attention is revived, because something important is being said. Of her is born the Christ. And this celebration points out how God unfolds, his plan unfolds in the most astounding way, with many twists and turns. And of course, Mary and Joseph had a particularly special role in that plan. The genealogy unfolds the salvation history, which is rather checkered. There are those who were faithful. We might call them the in-laws, or especially after Abraham, of course, the in-laws, David, Hezekiah, even Rahab and Ruth, who followed the people of Israel, but who were not Jews themselves. And of course, all these lead to the most significant woman in that is Mary. But then there's also the outlaws, people like Rehoboam, Jeconiah and his brothers, those who did not follow the law, those who were actually quite unfaithful, especially after Solomon. And basically when the kingdom was torn apart, and then they find themselves in exile. But what's really kind of neat is that Israel did not paint a very pretty picture of herself. She didn't just present the noble acts of her history and all the good people, and, oh, look at this one did this, and that did this great thing, but wrote quite plainly of all of her failings. But that's not the end of nor is the main thread of the story. The traditional image of the tree of Jesse gives us, I think, a beautiful insight. It shows some were very watchful and aware of the promises that God had made, and that his plan was unfolding even despite their unfaithfulness or their sinfulness. But others were not. Others were kind of more interested in this world, more interested in themselves, but didn't find themselves in this current of salvation history. And I think what it reveals to us is that even within our own personal family tree, there are those who have been faithful to God, and those who have that, and which has affected us, our grandmother perhaps, who prayed for us all the time, prayed that rosary faithfully, and we see the effect of that in our own life. And of course, there are those who lived very sinful lives, and that too has had an effect on us. We think, you know, we probably end up getting the best and probably a little bit of the worst of our parents, you know? Even though we make our own choices and we have to walk that path on our own, we realize that we carry sometimes the baggage of what we call generational healing that we need, or transgenerational issues. We all have them, but hopefully we understand that by our own choices and especially by grace, that family tree can actually be healed. So where are we amongst this line? Are we those who are the in-laws or the outlaws? Those who strive to be truly faithful, or those who struggle with sin all the time and are not really even aware of what our part is in this whole plan of God? This is where wisdom comes in. Wisdom is the ability to see the parts in relation to the whole. It is really the cause of things. So wisdom helps us to understand that God is in the first and highest cause, and we see all other causes as related to the first and to the highest. And like our Blessed Mother, who is presented at the very end of the Gospel, we too are woven into this divine plan of God. We have been brought into this world at this particular moment in the history of salvation for a purpose. And when we discover this, then the joy we experience is quite amazing. May the wisdom of God fill us with his knowledge to help us understand our call and plan in the world today, that we form part of the, and we come into that current that is leading towards the end of salvation history and towards the salvation of all ourselves and all those around us.